Let us pray. Oh, Father and our God, this morning we are grateful for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us, that thou will bring us together on this day of worship to give thy name the glory and to exalt thee. Holy Father, we now pray that thou will consecrate thy word, for indeed thy word is truth and thy word is spirit. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. I don't have to be a prophet to know that all of us desire to be blessed. If I could eavesdrop on everyone's prayer, I have no doubt that most of the petitions and requests we present before God will center around one form of blessing or another. And quite frankly, it is fine to pray for God to bless us. Our benevolent God Himself wants to bless us beyond measure. As the Apostle Paul will remind us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he said, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." But you know, there is one profound blessing of God that we don't really have to pray for. It is right at our fingertips, staring us in the face. Well, you may wonder to yourself, what is this blessing? Well, it is the blessings that come from figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it is this blessing that I want to call your attention to this morning, because I truly believe these blessings will revolutionize your Christian life and help you to not only love Jesus more, but to grow in grace. This is what's going to bring me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Now, by way of context here, the Lord Jesus, we're told, with his disciples, were traveling and they entered a certain village. Now, Luke does not mention the name of the village, but from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we know that the village was Bethany because it was home to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it was there that Jesus and his disciples entered the house of Martha. Now, Martha and Mary, this must definitely have been a special occasion, having the Lord Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings under their roof. And you know what? Such important dignitary needs to be given the highest level of hospitality, which was why Martha must have got into the kitchen and began to prepare food for them to eat. Now, in the historical setting of the first century AD, women were usually those who managed the kitchen in terms of food preparation and serving. And that was precisely what Martha was doing here. But our sister Mary was not participating. Rather, the text reads that she was sitting by the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, a position reserved for a disciple. Because a disciple usually at those, or a disciple is one who sits at the feet of his master listening to his teaching. So now, with the weight of all the preparation on the shoulders of Martha, she was preparing food for at least 12 men, including the Lord Jesus. She was obviously overwhelmed. And then she became indignant at Mary. In her mind, Mary was out of place. She had abandoned her responsibility as a woman and was sitting idly at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Martha had a legitimate concern here. We got to agree to that. But here, rather than go to Mary and gently tell Mary to come and help her in the kitchen, she actually directed her frustration towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this serving alone. Tell her to help me. Just like the disciples of the Lord Jesus did on that boat that was battered by the wind in Mark chapter 4, while Jesus was asleep at the stern of the boat, and they woke him up and they said the same thing. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Loved ones, this is a case of projection of frustration. You know, projection of frustration is a psychological defense mechanism in which a person unconsciously transfers their own feelings of anger, annoyance, or helplessness to another. You know, instead of acknowledging their own frustration, they see and accuse others of being responsible. You know, this allows them to avoid dealing with the root of their frustration while justifying their own negative behavior. And loved ones, I need to pause here and make this observation. It is unavoidable. In life, you will face moments of frustration, moments that you may feel helpless or angry. And when such moment comes, be careful not to channel your frustration at God by blaming him. You know, don't channel your frustration at God by blaming him for your abusive parents or your dire financial state or your failed marriage. You know, you got to learn to accept the things that you cannot change and take responsibility for your own failure. And then humbly ask God to help you through your challenges. I tender to you this morning, God is not the author of our frustration. He is the author of grace and mercy. And if you're facing moments of frustration, seek him so that his mercy can be dispensed into your life. Now, the Lord Jesus definitely knew that this was a case of projection of frustration from Martha. So he said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Now, let us pause for a minute right here and just kind of look at the verse. I want you to pay attention to this. Notice what the Lord Jesus did not say in this verse 41. The Lord Jesus was not saying, "Hey, Martha, what you're doing in the kitchen is wrong." No, the Lord Jesus didn't say that, because at least everybody got to eat. She was doing what was good. Rather, the Lord Jesus was saying, "Hey, Martha, your focus is out of alignment. You are focused on others, and it is causing you to be distracted." Again, I want you to watch that. The Lord just said, "You are worried about so many things, bothered about." In other words, Martha, your focus is out of alignment. You are busy focusing on what your sister is not doing. Again, loved ones, I need to pause here and make this observation. You know, this is not just a Martha problem. It is a problem that is very prevalent in our churches today. You know, there are some in our churches who are genuinely in love with Jesus and who are serving him passionately, yet they're embittered. Why are they embittered? They're embittered because they're looking around and it seems that every other person not doing anything. And because they see others not doing anything, they become angry and they become embittered. And for some, they leave the church. But this morning, I need to tend it to you. Listen to me very well. You know, when you are serving the Lord, you have to focus on what you're doing. You know, the only person you really need to impress is God. And he sees you. And he's going to reward you. But when you become embittered, you are giving the enemy the foothold to steal your joy and your gladness for walking and serving Christ. I may remind you that even when you see others that are not doing anything, rather than become embittered, rather than become frustrated, begin to pray. that God will move in their very soul and God will quicken their hearts so that they too can see the desire to serve God. You must be very careful of what I call the Martha syndrome, where you look at others rather than focus on what God is telling you to do. And this is what the Lord Jesus called the attention of Martha to. That Martha, your focus is out of alignment. Then the Lord Jesus will say in verse 42, this is where I'm going. He said, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, let me break this down, loved ones. You know, in the original Greek, the word order is kind of unique. The word enos, which we translate as one, is actually positioned first. This is usually for the sake of emphasis. That is why when you kind of read the New American Standard, it actually adds only one thing. The implication was that the emphasis is on one. In other words, what Jesus is trying to say is this. You know, while both of them are doing something good, spiritually good, but when placed comparatively, when what Martha was doing was compared to what Mary was doing, what Mary was doing is what is needed and most beneficial spiritually. That is, what Mary was doing is of utmost significance spiritually. This is where the blessing is, that Jesus was acknowledging that Mary was in a position of spiritual blessing. And this morning, the question now has been asked. He said, no, what is now the spiritual blessings of figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus? Since Jesus told Mary here that, listen, she chose the good thing. What then is the spiritual blessings of sitting figuratively at the foot of Jesus? Here is it, loved ones. You know, first of all, it is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus that we build true intimacy with God, which is fundamental when it comes to growing in grace. Loved ones, I want you to write this down. You know, it is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus, that is when we build true intimacy with God, which is fundamental when it comes to growing in grace. You know, when you go to Genesis chapter 1, when God was revealed to us, it revealed himself as a relational God. We find his relational attribute first in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then we find his relational attribute in the creation of man. He said, let us create man in our own image and in our likeness. And we see that relational attribute even in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam. Now, I want you to notice this. For any relationship to thrive, what is needed the most is intimacy. Without intimacy, relationships become cold and quickly die off. If you today are married and you don't spend time with your wife, or with your husband, and you just do your thing, sooner or later, that relationship is going to go cold, and both of you are going to drift apart. And before you know it, it won't be oneness, but it will be separation. And the same is true with our relationship with God. And the question is this, how then do we build intimacy with God? Well, I'm tendering to you this morning that we build intimacy with God by getting to know him. And we can only get to know him when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus. And we begin to practice what I call spiritual disciplines. We devote ourselves to prayer. You know, devoting yourself to prayer is figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. Devoting yourself to the study of the word is figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the more you devote yourself to prayer, which is communion with God, you devote yourself to the study of the word, which is communion with God. Those are figuratively what you are doing, that you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the more you spend time in spiritual discipline, the more you grow closer with God, the more you become more intimate with God, the more you begin to know the ways of God and experience God uniquely. And I believe the reason many of us don't experience God uniquely is because we're not figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus by practicing spiritual discipline. Oh, I'm not saying that you got to read your Bible 24/7. I'm saying spend time, devote prime time to spend with the Lord, both in prayer and both in the study of the word, and see how that is going to transform your relationship with God. See how you are going to have this unique relationship with your Creator. And God desires relationship. He desires intimacy. He wants us to come close. He wants us to come close to know Him so that we can be blessed. And loved ones, this is the first blessing of sitting figuratively at the feet of Jesus. We get to know God more intimately and grow in that intimacy with God. The second is this. It is when you figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus, that is when your mind is renewed. Again, loved ones, you want to write this down. It is when you figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus, that is when your mind is renewed. Watch this. As Christians, we struggle against three major enemies: the devil, the flesh, and the world system. And one thing you got to understand about those three enemies, they are going for your mind. You know, the epic center of spiritual battle is our mind. One thing you got to understand is this. The way you think will ultimately show in the way you act. The enemy of our soul understands if you think wrong, you will act wrong. As such, they go for the mind. So the question is this. How do you then protect your mind? How do you then gain victory as it relates to your mind? Well, I tended to you this morning. The way to do it is, again, by figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And you do that by the study of the word that is able to transform your mind. I want you to watch what the Apostle Paul will say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What Paul is saying is that, listen, the only way you can avoid being conformed to this world is that you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? By the study and the meditation of God's word. And by so doing, you are actually figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus when you begin to meditate upon the goodness of God. When you begin to meditate upon His word, God told Joshua, God said, listen, I don't want this word to depart from you. I want you to meditate upon it day and night. The reason God told Joshua that, because Joshua was going to lead God's people into the promised land, and his mind need to be renewed. His mind need to be on the things of God. And my brothers and sisters, the reason many of us struggle with our mind is that we're not renewing it. And you renew it by figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. You renew your mind that when you're driving your vehicle, rather than listening to all kinds of junk, you listen to Christian music, Christian radio. You let your mind ingest all the good, all those things that are sanctifying, that's able to cleanse your soul. When you do that, you are figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because that was what Mary was experiencing. Her mind was being renewed because she sat at the feet of Jesus and all she could hear was the word of Jesus. And loved ones, listen to me this morning. If you want to fight this good fight of faith and be able to constantly gain victory over the enemy in this spiritual warfare, you need to figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus by meditating on his word so that your minds can be renewed. Love wants the third blessing of sitting at the feet of Jesus is this. You know, it is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus, that is when we are able to overcome the mental stressors of life. Again, watch what I just said. It is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus, that is when we are able to overcome the mental stressors of life. Now, again, I want you to know this. You know, life is riddled with all kinds of mental stressors, anxiety, fear, worry, frustration. And you know what? These mental stressors, they take a toll on our lives. At times, if you don't take care of it, it leads you to destructive lifestyle. And there's so many people today, because of anxiety and stress, they've opted for destructive lifestyle. You know, those things that they just want to kind of pacify their inner struggle. But this is the loved ones. How do you overcome these mental stresses? Well, the answer is simple. By figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because it's at the feet of Jesus that you're able to understand his promises. It's at the feet of Jesus that you can hear what Peter will say in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. When he says to us, seeing that his divine nature has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by this he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. What Peter's trying to say to us is that, listen, the word of God sitting at the feet of Jesus, understanding his magnificent promises, is the antidote to all the mental struggles we're going through. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Listen, loved ones, you and I have a friend in Jesus, and Jesus gives us that promise. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus will tell us this. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Figuratively, Jesus is inviting us to sit at his feet. Come to me. That is the blessing of figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, when you come to Jesus in prayer, when you trust him through your storms, when you depend upon him for strength in the time of struggle, you are figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that is where the blessing is. You know, that's why many of us miss out on those blessings, because we are not actively and figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus and let him remove all the stress. You know, loved ones, you're not designed to be an incubator of stress. God has not made all of us incubators of stress. He wants us to be able to cast all our cares, all our anxiety upon him, because he cares for us. And you can only do that when you figuratively understand the promises of God by sitting at the feet of Jesus. And loved ones, this is the final one this morning. The blessings of sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, it is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus that we become the best version of ourselves. Watch what I just said. It is when we figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus that we become the best version of ourselves. You know, the prophet Jeremiah will remind us of this in Jeremiah 17 and 9. He said, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. He said, who can understand it? That's Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. What that means is this, loved ones, listen. My heart and your heart is extremely deceitful. You know, it's extremely deceitful. At times, what you think to yourself is good or you're doing right might be part of a deception of your heart. You know, your heart might manipulate you that you justify your wrong, or it might manipulate you for you to see yourself as, you know, I'm not as bad as this person. But that's what your heart does. So in your natural state, you can never be your best self. Listen to what I'm saying. You can never be the best version of yourself. Oh, yes, you can be a little nice guy and a nice lady, but you can never be the best version of yourself. But watch this. How do you then become the best version of yourself? By figuratively sitting at the feet of Jesus. What happens when you figuratively sit at the feet of Jesus that can bring out the best in you? Well, because the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the dividing of soul and spirit. What the writer of Hebrews is telling us is this, that when you sit figuratively at the feet of Jesus and begin to listen to his word and begin to study his word, you know, the word of God, like a double-edged sword, will begin to pierce through and begin to dissect all those things in your soul that you believe, oh, yes, I'm good. It will begin to let you understand that you're not as good as you think you are. It will begin to show you your hypocrisy. It will begin to show you your pride. It will begin to show you your blindness, and it will begin to break you down. It will begin to break you, and the more you are broken, the more you begin to become the best version of yourself. Because may I remind you, it's in the break. Is it when we are broken truly and we see ourselves in the mirror and we begin to weep at our own depravity, that is when we come close to being the best version of ourselves. And only when you sit at the feet of Jesus figuratively, by studying his word, by letting his word just permeate your soul, then you begin to see yourself and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, keep me near the cross. Lord, humble me. That is when loved ones to become the best version of yourself. And loved ones, this morning I tender to you that there is a blessing at sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus wants us to sit at his feet like Mary. He wants us to gain and to experience great profound blessing. Blessing that will transform our spiritual life. Blessing that will draw us closer to himself. And loved ones, this morning, take a seat. Take a seat by the feet of Jesus. Just sit down there and listen. Let Jesus begin to walk in your soul through his word, through his peace, so that you can be the best version of yourself. Loved ones, this morning, the blessings that you're praying for is staring you in the eye. All you need to do is to make it a goal to sit at the feet of Jesus and watch your life change. Sit at the feet of Jesus by studying his word. Sit at the feet of Jesus by meditating on his truth. Sit at the feet of Jesus by praying and seeking his face day and night. And I can tell you, loved ones, you will find that your life will be changed and you will be more like your master. And this morning I pray to God that every one of us will make it a definite desire to sit at the feet of our master so that we can become more like him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we give thanks to thee for the mercy, the grace that was lavished upon us. The song said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And Lord, I would love to say, Jesus, keep me seated at thy feet. Because the blessing is right there at the feet of Jesus. Lord, may thou now bless this declaration of your word, that every soul that hears will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.